Let me pray, and then we're going to look at a couple of psalms this morning. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your word speaks to us, words that were written thousands of years ago. Your Holy Spirit continues to use them to shape us and change us. And I've written down a whole bunch of notes here, and if there are things here that aren't from you, I pray that they will be quickly forgotten. And the things that are from you, I pray that you will just pierce our hearts and souls with them and change us and make us more of who you created us to be as your Spirit changes us. I just pray these things in your name. Amen. I know we usually at this time of year would have visitors from the States. Is anybody up visiting from the States? Okay, then I'm guessing that you all would know who this man is. Did we get that up, Tracy? You know who this man is, am I right? Yes, nods. Do any Canadians know who this man is? This man is Al Roker. When I visit my in-laws down in the States, I watch Al Roker in the morning, and he's a weatherman. He's the first weatherman that I've actually wanted to watch. This guy exudes personality. He's so excited about whatever's going on. He's the type of guy that says, it's going to rain for the next 2 weeks, and you go, oh, that's fantastic. And because he's got this just personality that people love him, NBC uses him to cover special events, kind of as the reporter on the ground, that type of thing. And I saw him in 2013 when he was covering the parade that was going down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, where just after the inauguration of Obama and Biden. And so this is a whole parade that he's covering. The whole thing is to celebrate Obama and Joe Biden's re-election to office. I know some people weren't celebrating it, but there were enough people there to celebrate it. And there are other officials walking down the street that once they got to about the last mile, they got out of their cars and actually walked down to the White House. There's tons of other officials, tons of Secret Service, the guys with their hand on their ear listening in, black suits. They don't look conspicuous at all. But nobody's there to see the other officials. No one's there to see the Secret Service. This is all about seeing President Obama and Joe Biden. And people are waving and smiling, and there are masses of people lining the street. And I always think it's funny because people are yelling in a huge crowd, Mr. President, Mr. President. As if Obama's going to stop and go, oh, it's you. Nice to see you. He's just doing this generic wave. And he's walking along doing that wave, or he's not really waving to anybody in particular. And so NBC has coverage of Al Roker doing the exact same thing. He's not the reporter standing like this. He's literally jumping up and down, waving, yelling, Mr. President, Mr. President. And something amazing happens. Obama recognizes Al Roker, and the whole parade momentarily stops because he stops walking, and you can see him tap Michelle Obama on the shoulder and go, hey, it's Al Roker. The president's there. The parade's about him. He stops the parade for a weatherman and points at the weatherman, and Al Roker realizes what's happened, and he's just in shock. And Obama looks at him and he says, you're right again. The weather's great. And walks on. And it's the first time I've ever seen Al Roker speechless. He was just standing there with his microphone. And then he started talking and he's going on and on and on and on. And a few minutes later, Joe Biden comes by. And Joe Biden sees Al Roker. And he not only waves to him, he runs through the Secret Service, who are going crazy because the vice president's now out of line. The whole parade stops again. He goes over, he shakes Al Roker's hand, pats him on the back, and runs back into the parade. And Al Roker looks at the camera, and he says, that's all I came for. Throws his mic in the air and walks away. Completely leaving a blank screen for NBC to try to fill. It was wonderful. Most interesting parade I've ever seen. I'll come back to this. I'll make sense of this. I promise why I told this story. But for now, what I want to do is I want to look at three really short psalms. They're the last psalms in the book of Psalms. All of them are about praising God for who he is. And as we look at these psalms, I want you to think not about a praise and worship service that's kind of a static thing where there's no motion happening, where we sit here and we praise. I want you to think about this, these last three psalms, as a parade. And it's a parade that starts up in the unseen heavenly realm of all the things that are going to be praising God, and it progresses down through creation, eventually ends up in the assembly of God's people. And by the time you get to the last psalm in the book of Psalms, it's a complete, there's a band playing, and it's a complete worship service. But it's a parade down toward this amazing place where God's people are assembled. And every one of these last three psalms, starting at 148, starts with the same theme, praise the Lord. So before we get into the psalms, I think we should talk about and define what we mean by the word praise. Because when we're in church, we throw these words around, praise and mercy and grace and kind of churchy words, and sometimes we don't stop to think, what exactly are we talking about when we say that? So before we get into this whole parade that's praising God, let's talk about praise just for a second. Praise, I'm sure you could do an entire 10-week series on what it means to praise. I'm going to try to give you just one little piece definition that will help us as we look through these psalms. Praise is basically when we name the great characteristics of something or somebody. Right? Praise comes naturally to us. We see something great and we can't just sit and observe. We always have to interact. Praise is a strange thing because in essence, it's simply seeing something or someone who amazes us and stating the obvious. Right? If you go down to Southern Ontario to Niagara Falls, the reason why there's a town there is because of this amazing natural waterfall. And there's so much water coming over it, and tourists come from all over the place just to see these incredible waterfalls. But what happens when you're standing there at the railing, looking over at the river, down into the gorge, and all this water coming over? People all along the railing are going, wow, that's a lot of water. Why do we have to say that? We all came here because we knew there was a lot of water. But there's something hardwired inside of us. When we see something incredible, we have to interact with it, and we just state the incredible thing. I remember this in the last Olympics when Usain Bolt won the 100 meters and broke a world record. 60,000 people saw him break the world record. And yet when he was running around with the British flag over him, doing his victory lap, there were a whole bunch of people in the stands yelling, "You're the greatest." Why do we have to say that? 60,000 people just saw it happen, but we can't see something incredible happen without interacting with it and verbalizing it and somehow acknowledging it. And I think that's because God has hardwired us to praise. We were created to praise. Sometimes we praise the wrong things, but there's something inside of us that sees something incredible and simply states what is amazing and obvious about what we're observing. So what we're going to look at here is a parade of praising God. And it goes from the unseen heavenly realm all the way down into the assembly of God's people. So let's real quickly go through Psalm 148. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all you heavenly hosts. There's this parade starting way up in the completely unseen realm. Paul calls it the invisible world, where the angels are. And the angels are praising God. Everything from the heavens and it comes down into our solar system is praising God. It says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. We have a decree and it shall not pass. So there's where the parade starts, all the way up in the unseen heavenly realms. And then it gets into our solar system and our cosmos and the moon and the sun. They're all praising God. And the parade continues on down into what we can actually see and where we live on this earth. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, verse 7. You great sea creatures and all depths. He's talking about whales. The incredible creation of God is now, the parade's now down here on earth in the sea, and the whales, simply because they were created by God and are magnificent, praise God. Praise him, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and hills and fruit trees and cedars and beasts and livestock and creeping things and flying birds. So the procession has reached the earth, and all created things on earth are praising him. From oceans to skies to mountains to fields to kingdoms, they all praise him. And then it gets to people. Kings of the earth and all the people, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. This is everything that's been created, isn't it? All the way from the things that we can't see down to the smallest child. And included in there are the incredible things in the sea, fruit trees. Have you ever read that in the Psalms before? The simple fact that they exist, praise God, and all the way down to the smallest child. And then the final two verses repeat everything for emphasis, that everything from the unseen heaven to the smallest child is praising God. And it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. And if you go on into Psalm 149, you see the theme's exactly the same. It starts, praise the Lord. And we can keep using this picture of the parade, because now this thing starts to enter in where God's people are. And it says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. He's talking about us now, God's people. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and with lyre. And I'm going to stop for Psalm 149 there. I promise I'll jump back into it. But I want to just look at Psalm 150, because it kind of closes the loop on this parade. And it ends up in this full-blown praise concert. In Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. That's where his people are. Praise him in the mighty heavens. So it's actually reviewing the parade again, isn't it? Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with string and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbal. Praise him with loud crashing cymbal. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Taken together, the theme of these three psalms give us a picture of God, who is so great that no matter where this parade goes, everything and everyone praises him. From the smallest child to the whales in the sea, to the sea and the cattle and the field and the fruit trees and the majestic angels in this unseen world. And they're doing it with guitars and drums and cymbals and dancing. And God is put on display, and everything that has breath praises God. And you are there in Psalm 149 as part of the assembly. And something happens that to me is mind-blowing. Because we skipped some verses in Psalm 149. We'll go back to them now. There's the parade coming through, and it's coming through the assembly of God's people, it says in verse 1. And they're singing, and they're dancing, and they're making music. And then something happens that stops the parade. Verse 4 says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. It says, the Lord delights in his people, is another translation. And don't miss this. The God who is praised by absolutely everything, looks at his people, and delights in them. This is the stopping of the parade because the president sees a weatherman and says, wow, it's Al Roker. But the parade isn't about the weatherman. The parade is about the president. And still, he stops and points to the individual and says, I love this guy. In this mind-blowing cosmic parade that God is in, where absolutely everything is praising him, he stops and the whole thing comes to a halt. And he says, it's Adam. I delight in him. He says, it's Tracy. I delight in her. And he sees Peter and Denise and says, oh, I delight in these people. I think we understand kind of in an abstract way that God loves us. We sing Jesus loves me from the time we're really small. I think there's something we miss though in the fact that God actually likes us. He likes who we are. He sees us and he delights in us. And this whole parade that's all about him stops for a moment. And certainly he looks at us as a collective group and delights in us. But the group's made up of individuals. And he stops and he delights in you. He says he delights in you and he crowns the humble with salvation. God stops and says, you make me happy. That's an incredible thing. And this dials up the whole worship service a notch. It says, let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. It says, let the saints rejoice in this honor, is another translation. Let them sing for joy on their beds. On their beds? Does that strike you as odd? In the middle of the night? How many of you wake up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. praising God? How many of you are like me and wake up at 3 a.m. because you're worried about something, because something's causing you anxiety, and because you're remembering something stupid that you did, something stupid that you said, or you're remembering somebody that hurt you, or you're anything but praising God at 3 a.m? I think, though, that when I wake up in the middle of the night, it's normally because I'm worried about something or somebody. But if I grasp this truth that God delights in me and crowns me with salvation, the God who's worthy to be praised, the God who created all of it, is happy with me and thinks I'm important, what do I have to fear? What do I have to worry about? And I don't say this to minimize the really difficult things that we face in life. And I also don't say this because I've got it all figured out. And now that I've read this verse, I will never wake up at 3 a.m. worried about something again. But I'm putting it out there because it seems to me that if I truly grasped this, that if we truly grasped this, it would dramatically change how we deal with worry and fear. That seems to be the connection that the psalmist is pointing out there. So God delights in his people. And what about those who aren't his people? Verses 6 through 9 say there's actually a sentence that's going to be carried out against them. Here's Psalm 149, verses 6 through 9. Let the high praises of the Lord be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people and to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters and irons. To execute on them the judgment written. God uses his people to judge those who are not his people. He'll do that in the end times. That's in 1 Corinthians 6. It says, you will judge the world. And this is the part of this psalm that I just wish wasn't there. We want to believe everybody's okay, but they're not. Over and over again in the Bible, it's presented that those who ignore God and those who oppose God set themselves up as the center of their own universe and make themselves God will be punished. And this is why we do what we do. This is why for the last 20 years, Doreen and I have been involved in evangelism and church planting in Spain and Poland, and now overseeing about 200 missionaries in Europe and North Africa and Latin America. This is why you talk to your family and friends and coworkers about what you've found. It's because even though we don't want it to be there, there's judgment for those who aren't listening to God. And we need to explain to people, how do you move from this place of punishment to a place where you join this parade of worshipers and marvel at the fact that God delights in you? And the key to this is alluded to in the end of this psalm, and I'll end with this. He says, the humble he crowns with salvation. You know, pride says to God, I don't need you. Pride says to God, you can't tell me that I'm sinful and need forgiveness. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine the way I am. Pride says to God, God and religion are for weak people and I'm strong. But humility says to God, I absolutely need you. I see my own failings. I'm guilty of sinning against other people and against you, and there's nothing I can do to erase that sin. And humility causes us to cast ourselves on God's mercy and ask for his forgiveness and ask for him to change us into who he's created us to be. And everyone who asks for mercy receives the forgiveness and God's power to change you into who he created you to be. And in a group of people this size, there's probably somebody sitting here that doesn't know why they're here this morning. Somebody from your family brought you. You might have even just wandered in off the street. I will say you're here this morning to hear this, that God is simply saying, set your pride aside, look at yourself the way I see you, and ask me for my mercy. And incredible things happen to you as God changes you. Everyone who asks receives mercy and forgiveness, and more than that, when he makes us into this new person, this new forgiven person, the God who deserves to be praised in this cosmic, mind-blowing parade that we talked about, stops the parade and says, I delight in you. He crowns you with salvation, and even on your bed, in the middle of the night, you have no reason to fear anything. If you have that, keep praising him for it. If you're sitting here saying, I absolutely don't have that, ask him for it. He's waiting you to ask for it. And see the incredible things that God will do in you and through you. Let's pray together. I thank you, God, for this truth. The truth that you are the only one who is worthy to be praised, and all of creation is proving that by praising you. And yet you look at us and you delight in us. And you like us, and we make you happy. And the thing that you've created us, that you've created in us, this new person, because of your mercy and grace, causes you to delight in us. And I thank you for that. And I pray for those who don't really understand what we've been talking about here, that they'll simply cast themselves on your mercy and say, God, be gracious to me, a sinner, and they will experience this thing that so many of us sitting in this room have experienced, that you transform us from being a spiritually dead person to being spiritually alive and reflecting you to the world around us. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.